Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let us speak for himself. He's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and get ready to sway.
Tell me about your pants.
Tell me about,
yeah,
you look like an Asian's pants.
Yeah, that's why I moved over here.
Mr. Sunny, oh, you would like to chuck it to me? You would like to chuck it to me?
Do you know what I read on the internet today?
Makula is not amused. It's not the face.
The ordinary glass of milk has, like, tons of antibiotics, tons of growth hormones, and tons of painkillers in it. So, be careful.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
What?
It's health tip.
Welcome, everybody, to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 136 of the podcast.
Is that right?
That's right.
Oh yeah, that was right. You weren't here last week, so we guessed it was 198.
Yeah.
You were correct.
Yeah.
Everyone's right.
This is 136, 136, pick up dicks.
Pick up dicks.
Pick up those dicks, please.
You know what? Without any further ado, maybe, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off, and maybe Mark will be back in his seat by the time we sound off.
Hey, it's Nick Makula.
Hi, it's LP.
Hi, it's Keith.
I can has Castelby.
Hello, it's Scott.
It pins.
It is Cloud.
It's Brian.
It is Clark.
And Logan's here too.
Hey,
whoa,
that's right, but he's still scary.
No,
I'm
gonna. I'm okay now. It's just Logan. It's our friend Logan.
Hey,
Logan. Hey, Logan, how's it going?
It's good to be back.
Cool, man. Yeah, good to have you back. Logan, since last you were on the podcast, what's going on? Anything new?
Oh, you know, just still plugging away at my Jaws musical.
Jaws musical, huh? What's it called? All That Jaws?
Oh, actually, very astute of you, Tins. It is called All That Jaws.
Cool. When does that open, Logan?
That's opening very soon, October 19th at 10:30 p.m. at Theater Wit.
Excellent.
You didn't go with Jaws and Dolls? That's the follow-up musical we're doing next fall.
Hey, how much is the rental on Theater Wit? What size space is it?
It's a 98-seat theater. We're paying $250 a performance. You can split the profits with them to not pay. It's complicated. I'm not going to go into it right now.
Well, I'd like to talk with you about it.
Cool.
Right okay. Right now?
No, I'm kidding.
Cool. First of all, thanks for everybody coming out to yesterday's show as we're recording live. That would be Waiting for Tim Meadows. That was so much fun.
That was really fun.
Good job, Keith.
Thanks. No, good job, everybody. Those songs were an extra amount of absurdity that normally isn't in Waiting for Godot that I felt really made it.
Waiting for Guffman song?
Yeah, all the Waiting for Guffman songs were so funny and so just completely out of place, but so well done. It was so funny.
It was one of those shows where I was backstage for most of the time, so I didn't get to see.
That's always an interesting experience. I love
it's nerve-wracking for me.
I love having big parts where I'm on stage for a while, but I also love having teensy little bit parts where I get to see the action all from backstage and gauge how it's going and everything.
I like goofing off backstage a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Because Nick, you were with me backstage. And I find that when I have the less amount of lines that I get more nervous that I'm going to fuck them up. And be like, God, you had two lines, Castelby, and you fucked it up. And so that was very nerve-wracking while Makula was just backstage being a goof.
But you know who never fucks things up? Cheesies, our sponsor.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They're great. Mm. You should go there.
They're great. Great sandwiches. And now I can attest, great pizza as well.
Yeah, it was good.
It was okay.
We didn't eat it.
It was cold.
We didn't eat it.
We did not eat it.
We didn't eat it.
Legally, we didn't.
But illegally, it was
cold. Well, I mean,
legally, it was cold.
I went there afterwards, I mean, and I had an entire pizza. Nice. I left it in the fridge for like an hour, though.
So it was cold.
Yeah, real cold.
Good.
It was good, though.
Oh, shit.
I don't want to say.
What? Okay.
Let's just keep going.
Let's keep going.
Okay. But what are we going to talk about?
All right,
the theater. How much does that cost now?
Oh, that theater costs. It's $250 a performance.
I can't take it anymore.
What? You have something to confess?
You guys, I forgot the mailbag. There it is.
Again?
Never do that.
Yeah.
I got you.
Please, Logan, coming from you, that hurts.
I know.
Logan's never said a bad word about you.
Ooh, that's an interesting series of sounds.
This letter comes to us from one Christopher Columbus. Ooh. And it's there's some shards of broken glass, because actually this was in a glass bottle in the mailbag. But our mailbag is full of assorted items, so the glass bottle's shattered.
Yeah, that's true.
It says, Dear Queen Isabel, I hope this reaches you. I think we found India, but we're not entirely sure how to get back. So I wrote this letter and threw it into the ocean in hopes that it would find you sometime in the next year or two, 1494 or 5. We really did a great job, and I think we found land, and there's some dumb people here. So we're just going to take everything that they have and probably leave them with some diseases. Also, no matter what the Vikings tell you, we were here first.
That's it. Well, he didn't sign it or anything?
He said, well, Minnesota there's like a blood splotch.
Oh, that's ominous.
Wow, what's up with
Maybe
that?
He fell.
Yeah, in researching Columbus Day things.
Why were you doing that?
For the Columbus Day musical.
Oh, that's right. We're doing the show.
Oh, that's right.
It is a Funkadelic Columbus Day musical.
Does that mean there will be a funk band there?
There will be. Quantum Soul Theory will be playing.
Oh, so good.
We love those guys.
They're super fun. It's going to be on Sunday the 7th. Check it out.
Man.
But yeah, I had no idea, like, how large the debate was over Columbus Day even being a valid holiday. Like, there are several states that do not participate in Columbus Day, or they change the name of it to, gosh, I forget what it is, something about, like, some kind of recognition
Discovery
Day.
Discovery Day?
I know, but some people, there's so many different beliefs about it. Some people are like, you know, the Americas are already inhabited. Other people are like, well, no, it's still important because it connected the East and Western hemispheres. Doesn't matter, like, exactly what happened. And people are like, no, they treat the natives like slaves. And people are like, no, that was just, you know, what they believed at the time. And they didn't, like, they weren't mean to them, like, completely.
No.
They're more just, like,
I don't know about that.
They came to, like, make them more civilized. There's all these different beliefs about it. And it's, like, this huge, huge debate. And I just...
What is it to be civilized, though?
I mean, let's be honest.
Well,
I mean,
and
is it how many Hot Pockets do you have in your freezer?
Yeah. I mean, there's some...
That should be the measure,
Mikey. Like, super terrible if you read what happened. But at the same time, colonization was happening, you know, before, after, all over the world. And so it's not like it's the one, like, terrible event in history that should never be spoken of.
Well, we had a bunch of those.
I feel
exactly.
like...
And, like, if this never happened, if Columbus didn't land on the quote-unquote Americas, then, like, it would not have led to us being where we are, so...
Unless someone else did it.
I mean, I'd be fine.
It's interesting how Columbus Day is being spun in other countries. I'm looking at the Columbus Day Wikipedia page, and...
That's where I am.
Obviously, that's what we call it, but in Spain, they call it Fiesta Nacional... National party, basically.
Yeah.
Yep. In Uruguay, it's called Day of the Americas, is how they celebrate it. And in Argentina, they call it Day of Respect for Cultural Diversity.
Now, I haven't,
which is interesting.
I haven't studied up on Christopher Columbus in some time. So my understanding is he came from Spain.
1492.
He was Italian,
the ocean
right?
Blue.
Yeah, he was born in Genoa. He's from Italy. That's where he grew up.
And he's
not like a very wealthy family. Like, he's pretty much self-taught. He's a little bit crazy.
And he discovered, yes, Nick.
Who is, now, okay, we did this play in high school one time. A play called Complete Works of...
Are you about to ask about Amerigo Vespucci?
I was about to ask about Amerigo Vespucci.
Yes.
Who is a real person? That wasn't made up, right?
Yeah,
it's a real guy.
Yeah.
I thought
it was made up.
Amerigo
Vespucci was a cartographer that I believe mapped North and South America.
This is true.
And was he in Columbus's time, or was it before Columbus? Like,
I think if I remember correctly from high school when I did that.
Yeah,
film,
right.
I think he was prior to Columbus, but was like more in Canada. I want to say.
Okay.
It's still America.
What you got there, Tins?
Well, it looks like Columbus lived from 1451 to 1506. Vespucci was actually much farther. He was born in 1454, so not that long.
Nope.
But died 1512. I'm trying to see when he claimed the name for himself. I can't find it quite yet.
1503 and 1504.
That's what I got.
Is what it says here in two brief letters.
He purportedly wrote to Lorenzo de Medici about a voyage undertaken for the King of Portugal. So
he was who Portugal sent because they felt dumb for not funding Columbus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. They just stole the name right from right
around,
out from under their
around
nose.
1499.
Hmm.
One thing I found like super crazy was that Columbus made all these trips back and forth, and he kept thinking he was going to Asia and going to Japan. Like, he didn't know up until either he's almost dead or, like, he just never knew that he actually discovered America. Like, he thought that he was going the whole time, his whole lifetime, to Asia.
He's an idiot, yes.
He just thought the globe was a lot smaller of a sphere than it was.
I'd say he was more ignorant than an idiot.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what's a
very smart man.
What's a crazy Columbus fact?
Hmm.
There was another huge historical thing was happening at the same time, the Spanish Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read Christopher Columbus's crew list, it's a bunch of Jews.
Is it?
So he basically took a bunch of Jews, got them away from the Inquisition.
So he was like Schindler.
These are
my workers. For some people.
Of sorts.
But I'd never had known that, and then of course I learned it in Jew school, where they would care about that sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
But I just never thought of like that because he was leaving for years. This is the perfect job for someone trying to get away from the Inquisition.
Yes.
Sorry, LP had a question, but he was too embarrassed to ask it.
Did he?
At this point in time, when Columbus was discovering was sailing, they knew that the Earth was round, right?
Yeah, it was actually common knowledge.
Since Greece.
Prior. Yeah,
people still believe that, like, there were still religious organizations that were, like, still in, like, the 11th century time? Or am I making that
up? I'm sure there is that.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask.
Where does that child's tale come from? You know, that he had to prove that the world...
Because that's what I was taught in school.
Yeah.
Did you guys learn that?
Yeah.
That what?
Everyone felt like, oh, the world's flat. You're going to fall off the edge of the
earth.
And Columbus like, no, it's round.
Yeah, that's what I was taught in second grade.
I was never taught that.
In the Animaniacs, he thought it was a cube, but the worm helped him out.
In Muppet Babies, there was an edge of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. My question is, so they knew about Asia. Yes, they knew it was a place, and from different maps, and they had just never clued in. They had never given him details as to what he'd be seeing when he got there.
Well, he wanted to find a sea route so they could take more stuff back.
Okay. They had a land route to Asia, and they had been trading with Asia, but he wanted to find
But why wouldn't he say, "Hey, these people don't really look like those other"?
Oh, because he'd never seen.
And also, if they took the water route to Asia that they had, they'd have to go through other countries' waters and deal with other people.
Around the Horn of Africa.
That stems down to Marco Polo and shit like that, right?
There's like Henry the Navigator, I want to say. It was the guy who first went around Africa to India by sea.
The Horn of Africa. So this allowed you to not deal with that.
Like you wanted to create a new, quicker route to the west instead of the east?
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily quicker. It was more you don't have to deal with any other countries and their laws and their
only
taxes.
Sea monsters.
And the Horn of Africa has notoriously terrible weather. Mm. Yeah. So it's very treacherous, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the calm Atlantic Ocean is just a pleasant ride the entire time.
And if you can be that one that forged that new path, you know, everybody's, you know, all for you.
That and also a lot of the people of the Americas at the time, like the image we have of someone who lives in South America is highly influenced by that trip, like, or by the Spanish and then later slave trade influence on that. But the actual physical appearance of like the Mayan people, Incan people, like the native peoples of that time is much similar to like an Asian physical structure.
Speaking of being taught things in school, do you guys ever hear or did you learn, and I might be remembering this incorrectly, but something about how the Native Americans, because they had never seen a boat...
I think that's bullshit. I know what you're about to say. Yeah.
The ships were coming towards the land, but they couldn't see them because they didn't know those things existed. Until someone had pointed it out to them.
Yes. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
about. But, you know, I think that's possible.
It makes sense.
Or maybe it was like a dream, like dreamlike. Because if you see something that doesn't look anything like anything you've ever seen before, like anything whatsoever that is almost unfathomable to you, wouldn't it, you know...
If I recall the story...
Your mind wouldn't process it.
They said that this happened. They couldn't. They said something was there they couldn't understand, and they got like an old sage in the tribe. And the sage had to tell them that these things existed, and once he did, they could see them then.
Yeah. I think there's actually a really interesting Radiolab story that it's tangentially related, but bear with me. They went through all of the text of the Odyssey just for some sort of experiment. They counted up all instances of every time they mentioned a color. They would say, okay, they mentioned gold this one time, they mentioned red this other time. And the weird thing about it is they never in the entirety of the Odyssey, which is, you know, a very long book, they never mentioned the color blue at all. And initially they thought that it might be because Homer was colorblind. He just couldn't process the color blue. But then as they delved deeper into it, it turns out that... People don't really name colors until they have a means for expressing it, and normally that means a means of mass producing it. Like, they came up with the colors red and like a yellowish and goldish first, because those were the colors that they were actually able to produce and turn into clothing and items of that color. But they never really had anything that was like a pure blue for them as a reference point, except for the sky, which for some reason it's like if that's been in their lives, that's always been there in everyone's lives, and nobody
they probably don't even think it's a color.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a color.
Yeah, like they and some dude did a test with his son, like his infant son. He purposely never taught him blue, and then at some point asked him to like describe the color of the sky, and this kid. Like 2 or 3 year old child just couldn't process what blue is. Yeah. That's sort of that idea.
Isn't it like a thing that Homer was blind himself?
Entirely.
Yeah, I always heard that Homer was blind.
Could have been. I don't know. I think from that Radiolab story, they thought that he might have been colorblind, but I don't know. It could be that they thought he was colorblind, but he was totally blind.
Nobody
knows
who Homer was to begin with.
I did.
Right.
I mean, who he actually was.
Like, nobody knew him. He wasn't anybody's bud.
No, I think he did. I think there was a thing where they thought he was blind or something like that.
Well, it could have been.
Yeah, I've always heard him called the blind poet.
Yeah.
I think there's one story where Homer talks, like, he's describing a blind poet, and they said that was supposed to be Homer and something like that. I'm looking it up right now.
I have a Yahoo Answers.
You do? You got it? All right, then go ahead.
That's got to be right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, did you read the comments?
This is actually going to be
really minus racism.
We are reading the Odyssey, and the teacher wants us to find out what caused Homer's blindness, like what the legend was behind it. The simple answer is that no one knows who Homer was, or even if there was any such person, so no one knows if he was blind or not. However, the name Homer has been taken by some linguists to derive from the word for blind or follower in some Greek dialects.
Huh. Mm. I know.
Wait, I mean, a Homer is a follower?
A blind follower.
So, you could say someone is a homer blind for their follower. Home team in baseball. So when you call them a homer, they're a blind follower of that team.
Anybody chatting that knows this answer?
That's interesting.
Does Taryn know?
Yeah, does Taryn. Taryn, do you know what's going on?
She says, I mean, my brother is color deficient and can only see three shades of green, so he has trouble describing landscapes.
Just like you, Gustavi.
Just like me.
What do you see when you look at the brown wall?
I see two zebras fucking. Oh, okay.
That's infinitely more interesting.
I get that question all the time.
I do think that is an interesting concept, though, the fact that your brain...
Karen wants to know what the question was again.
Of course. Was Homer blind?
Was Homer blind, Karen? All right.
But I think that's interesting that the brain just has real trouble processing anything that it hasn't seen before, or that it hasn't been taught.
If I saw blue,
before.
I'd know blue.
Thank you.
But would you know the name of it?
I'd be like, hey, that's that.
That is blue.
But that's the thing with blue. Like,
that's not red.
A lot of people say that with UFOs is, you know, we don't see them because we don't we have no real concept of them.
Yeah.
We guess at what
people
they are.
They say they see them all the time, though.
Yeah, that's but they're liars.
But you don't know if that's... Yeah. But
That's why those people say we don't see them, though.
But that's the weird thing about it.
Do you hear those ones about, like, the people, the colonels, the colonels in like the military being like, yeah, I drove like F-16s and I swear that they see that there's a UFO cover up. Let me find it real quick.
About, like, Area 51?
It's recently?
Like, it's like going on.
There's a crew of
they're not aliens, yeah. They're just like ghosts.
And so, yeah, and
or
also another argument that is that we don't see ghosts because we don't have that concept in our brains. Right. So, like,
to that ghost podcast.
Well, because they're too scary.
Yeah, they're too scary or whatever. Like, it's too, you know.
Oh, like,
and
so
I think it's totally possible that the natives didn't see the ships.
Now, yes, we don't know what UFOs and ghosts look like, but they've been so prevalent in pop culture that,
yes,
don't you think that could be, like, if it becomes so abundantly clear in our perceived notions of reality from the 50s on that a UFO is shaped flying the saucer, wouldn't that replace what an actual UFO looks like?
Well, isn't that wild? Then?
No matter what we saw, we would describe it as that, because that was the closest idea we had.
You've got it for
it's very possible.
Incredibly possible.
So that's all we would see.
And one thing that they said when they described... I don't think the natives were describing Columbus. It might have been just conquistadors, you know, Pizarro or whatever. But saying when they came in on their horses... They were riding like demons.
Yeah, they thought they were the horse and the person were the same thing.
Yeah, they were like the same
thing.
And it was
Cortez.
That's who it was. Or Pizarro. Sorry,
he was kind of a demon.
But yeah, like
that part of history is really.
And so it is possible that with our concepts of the flying saucer, that whatever we see, it just is a saucer.
Like a collective conscious image?
Yeah, or like the natives, when they saw those ships, they just saw more ocean. Cause
Although I think that your brain's necessity to make sense of that probably hinges on how big of an impact it's making. So like a ship way off in the distance, you probably may not see. But when it's close to the harbor and it's distorting everything around it for you to ignore... You probably have to find it.
I've seen some fucked up shit in my life, and I did not see it. That's my fault.
Yeah, but you can justify
But is it something that you can relate to other stuff that you've seen and experienced in your
shapes,
life?
Exactly.
Shapes.
So yeah, but at the same time, those natives had boats, so they could relate that boat to a boat that they had. Yeah.
What this whole thing brings up in my mind is the writings of horror writer H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, that's exactly what
Here
I think of, too.
Here we go.
Logan's
in the pile.
Climb aboard the Lovecraft.
I've just finished reading an anthology, on Logan's suggestion. And with trans-dimensional beings and ancient old gods that are asleep waiting to be awakened to destroy us all, they often describe...
This is in what book?
A number of short stories written by H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
You email me later.
Yeah.
I will. No worries.
Oftentimes, they are described as having textures which people have never seen before, and like a color. One of my favorite stories.
The
I
color
read
out of space.
The color out of space, which is like this this asteroid that crashes into like this farmland. And it ends up fucking up the whole family and leaves the whole farmland a terrible blight. But the weird thing about it is they...
Good use of the word blight, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, well done.
They look at this meteor and they just can't describe the color that this meteor is and the fragments that break off of it. And it seeps into the ground and affects the land and the crops and the livestock. And all of it has this sheen, this little tiny radiance of this color that they've never seen before and they can't describe. So, like, you're reading this book, and you're kind of frustrated and kind of fascinated at the same time that somebody, this author, physically cannot describe to you what is happening.
Sounds
because
like
it's
lazy
so...
writing. Lazy ass writing.
And it looks like, it looks like an indescribable thing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it, actually.
That's like almost every short story.
Fucking laziness.
Oh man,
it's like you can't tell what he looks like because like just to behold him is to go mad.
Yeah, it's a good scapegoat. Matt, he uses madness as a scapegoat a lot. which is cool. But my love of H.P. Lovecraft comes from my love of H.P. Lovecraft comes from the fact that his whole ideal is that the universe is terrifying not because it's vast and huge and things can kill us, but the universe is terrifying because it's completely indifferent to our wants and needs.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I disagree.
Yes,
get him, Cloud. Go, get him.
You show H.P. Lovecraft to his boss.
The
please
universe
do.
Universe is indifferent to our wants and needs.
No, the mostly the universe is indifferent to our lives. Basically, we're just a flash
in
the pan.
I think everything's fucking connected.
Okay.
Dude, why? Like that secret shit. If you think something and attract positive energy, it'll attract positive things. If you surround yourself by negativity and negative things, the universe will send negative things your way. I totally believe in all
that.
Yeah,
but the world, the universe is gigantic, I think is what Logan
yeah,
is
saying.
Yeah, and that's...
Yes,
it's
actually the opposite.
Oh, Mikula has a question.
Which Ghostbusters movie do you like the most? One or two? There's a point to this.
One.
Really, it's not two with the mood slime. The mood slime takes like the negativity from New York.
It's
kind of
fucked up. Fucked
like, I'm just curious. Like, if two hits you deeper than
well,
one.
Well, yeah, the ectoplasm in two is supposed to be highly concentrated psychic energy into a psycho ectoplasmic residue that flows through the sewer system of New York.
It's a river of slime!
That, yes.
That is sort of why Lovecraft is kind of really depressing to read if you're in the wrong mood for it, because it is just that idea of like we're all, you know, we're just living our lives on this big sphere and doing the best we can to survive, but at any time one of these gigantic demon god beasts can just wake up and decide fuck all of this, it's all done instantly.
Yeah, I think the forces of the universe are far greater than our puny human lives. Because if you look, like, we're made up of, like, you know, there's all these bacteria doing shit inside of us, and even our organs are living cells that reproduce in a way. So we are a host to all these inhabitants, and they fuck them, I don't care about them, and they operate me. So I am an operative of, like, Earth with all of you and all the living things, trees and clouds and all the elements on this Earth. But they're like, fuck all to our galaxy. Yeah. And that is fuck all to the universe.
Well,
the universe is fuck all to some dudes.
Our
effects on each ball.
But here, I'm going to go out on a thing here.
Yeah.
All right.
Just think it. If we are, you know, those cells and those things.
Which
then,
we are.
Yeah.
Which we
well, are. Like, if you're looking at it that way.
Well,
then,
we'll see.
Well,
we'll
then,
see.
Then my what I feel is that we operate, you know, as little beings on this Earth, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, the Earth operates in its solar system, and then that in a galaxy inside, you know, a greater universe. Mm-hmm. I feel that, like, let's say, you know, a couple of cells go wacky, it can eventually lead to your death, right?
Right.
Well, what if we create a vibration so great with, like, let's say, you know, like somebody kills a lot of people at once,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? And then it create. Wouldn't that be able to?
It affects
create
the larger. Like you're talking, like we're Osmosis Jones. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
I
could say you could say Osmosis Jones.
Let's
you could
say
Osmosis
Jones.
You could say.
You could say. You could say Hitler.
Calm down, Mark. I'm ready for this. You're trying to go back to Hitler. I'm trying to talk about Osmosis Jones.
Because,
what's the difference?
Well, because
wow.
Because like, okay, let's say 50 people get killed on Earth.
Yeah.
That will affect Earth, but will that affect our galaxy?
But let's say it's greater. Like
Alderaan? Like Alderaan being blown
up?
Universe?
Yeah.
Like if there's a nuclear war. In
but
it.
Like
yeah.
as you continue right. to go. Like, even the galaxy is so infinitesimally small.
Uh-huh.
And even that, the universe could be exactly that.
The known universe.
Insignificant. And time gets, further apart as you get bigger. Therefore, like, even if we made something that affected our realm of time for a million years,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean a damn thing to the thing that's five levels above us, because we're
well,
one
not,
billion.
Not immediately, but my thought is like if we destroyed the Earth, that may be able to screw up the solar system. the way gravity works.
It will.
And then it might affect our part of the galaxy, yeah, which might but then it, in turn crash into another galaxy.
Yeah, I think this is all sorted.
Yes, oh, yeah, that's with that example, though, like, they predict, like, this, like, let's say, okay, Earth explores, but within a certain amount of, like, billions or millions, since you probably know this more than I would, is that the sun eventually will go too big that our yes, solar system's X out yeah, no matter what.
Uh-huh.
So what happens in this solar system, I would say that I agree with Keith, like, beyond us, nothing, solar systems would cancel each other out, that and, on a bigger and scale,
the reason,
nothing's...
The reason yeah, is...
Pressing,
is
but I
the reason yeah, is time.
Yeah.
Time. And time is infinite.
Time's
because
time is no, an
it's,
illusion.
No. Right, but it's the only way we have to progress. It is... Defining time has helped us to define like a culture and a reality and technology and all this stuff. So by defining our existence, we have created that time does in fact exist. Even though the universe didn't make it, we did, and it's
and the universe
measurable,
doesn't recognize it.
No, it doesn't need it.
Well,
but the way we measure it, the way we see life, that's important. But what do you know how the universe sees life?
Exactly. Also,
you
talk about
so you're
existence,
saying if there is a seismic shift, such as a planet turning off the
yeah,
solar system, the rest of the universe would not be affected because it doesn't see time?
No, like, just our our belief of what life is comparably, like, so insignificant.
I think you're really just talking, like, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, and, like, just go up to the universal level
mm-hmm,
and imagine that to be as small as a cell. And then go up to the universal level above that. It just keeps doing that. There's this pattern of
yeah,
just multiplication. Like,
well,
what
you're describing are different dimensions.
Yeah.
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 Well, oh boy.
Know,
it's sort of just different
no,
scales.
No, it is. You're right. It's
talking
just
up to like the 10th dimension where you get to the point where you've got everything and everything that you can ever imagine ever in one point. Well, then what?
Yeah.
Well, I think okay.
And it's well, I it's just that it's that we can all work for whatever reason we're only built to see in our 3-4 dimensions if you're including time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see down, we know first dimension, second dimension, third dimension and time. We just aren't capable of seeing what's next. And going back to what we were talking about before with ghosts and everything,
mm-hmm,
what else is out there that we are not seeing? You know, gamma rays, X-rays, all these things are flying.
Yeah, radiation, all these
light.
Things.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Gases.
Yeah.
Gases that we can't
Doom.
See.
So then, like, if that's true,
midi-chlorians,
is that, you know, our views are limited, our minds limited, everything we experience is limited, then, like, I feel like you can't deny
can't say
the
no ghosts.
No, I'm thinking that, like, there is, you know, everything is one, and,
yes,
like, everything is connected. We're not these, like, separate little bodies and separate people living
mm-hmm,
in isolation. Like, it's totally possible that everything is just one being, one energy.
Well, yeah, like, if you
being,
go to the same way up, because even just, like, you know, even elements are just different combinations
mm-hmm,
of positive and negative energy, like, in a
in
a
literal
series of levels.
Kind
of. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's just different collections of energies. So we are collections of energies operating the great cell of what Earth
yeah,
is. And, like, yeah, there's all these little things that make things work. And what I'm saying is our interpersonal differences really overall don't affect that energy output.
Yeah.
See,
that
I
we still
think...
radiate the same amount with
I just,
hate,
you
love,
see those? I put a thing in the
murder.
Box of, you know, how small our planet is in comparison to, like, fucking,
I love
you've seen
things.
The one with the suns. I have this up right now.
Yeah,
it's one. It's like it shows a picture. It's like this is our sun in comparison to us, and the sun's like fucking unbelievably big, right? And then they go like, well, this is the next big sun, and then this is the next big sun, and the next one, and the next, and it goes on and on until fucking the sun, our sun, is just gone. It's just it's too small to fucking see. And I think what you're saying is like our effects on our sun are so are almost impossibly minuscule. Let alone on our things that we do
yeah,
on this planet is so minuscule. How fucking
they're as minuscule as we
goes,
view
man.
Our one extra electron gets away.
So it's
right?
So it's not like so like what Cloud's saying may not be untrue, but the amount of that effect
yeah,
is so tiny.
Yeah,
yeah. I think
but
it's
how
the,
do we know that? Like, how do you know? Like,
well, I can't argue
choose,
that.
I like,
don't know.
You know, the
really
choices
don't.
You make, they actually make, how do you know they don't affect
but when your
well,
argument
I think
is
they,
how do you know not, then no argument works.
Yeah. I think what you're saying works to some degree. I think
we all live in a clown's tier.
I think what you're
why not? Why don't we live in a clown's tier? Tell me why we don't.
I think what you're saying kind of maybe relates a little bit to like chaos theory. The idea that every single thing, every single thing we do, every single thing I do ever is completely altering the way something else in the universe happens. By me whacking this microphone,
don't.
But I just did,
dude. Japan just blew up.
Dude, I wouldn't have screamed "don't" if you didn't
over a small period of time. Nothing is going to happen, but...
Nick, your wife!
My wife!
Why does Nick always do physical bits for us in the podcast?
It amuses me. Nick has run out of the room.
You know what I would say, Cloud? Because it's like, not only do I not necessarily care what an individual cell is doing in my body, I actually have no way of knowing what an individual cell is doing in my body. But I would eventually know if I had cancer, for example.
Yeah.
And so there will at times be things that reproduce so quickly or so much that their effect will reach
and
different scales.
I sort of think about it as like if you can randomly zap one single solitary cell from your body, there's a very, very large chance that that's not going to affect anything. But there's a small, albeit it's there, there is a chance that that's the one cell that could have been the root of cancer or something else.
That was the wrong Jenga
that
block.
That would have spread had you not stopped it. Just as if a random person on this planet drops dead right now, well, there's a good chance that the greater world, in the grand scheme of things, may not necessarily be incredibly affected by it 100 years down the road. But that man could have been, say, the NASA scientist that eventually figures out how to terraform Mars.
Or he could have been the dude who would have given birth to, like, the next... You know, he might not even have been
birth
like that.
To someone, then yeah. And that's the guy.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the guy. We figured it out.
We killed him, though.
We become cells once we asexually reproduce.
I think the universe does work in a lot of those very, very small but still present probabilities. Like I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before, that asteroid that in like 2028 has a possibility to collide with the Earth. It's going to come. It's going to come. Yeah, it's going to come close enough
how
to Earth.
How old will Bruce Willis be then?
Probably too old by that point.
Probably way too old. But Ben Affleck would just.
Yeah, there's good. There's this asteroid. If I haven't talked about it before, there's this asteroid that in 2028, I believe, it's going to come close enough to Earth that our gravitational pull is actually going to affect it. So we're actually going to offset its trajectory. Enough so that it's going to loop around, and by 2035, it's actually going to come back again within range to...
With a vengeance?
With a vengeance, even. Oh, God. Now, granted, I think they originally said it was like a 1 in 2,000 chance or something. So,
that's
pretty
not terrible.
Pretty insane.
I want more zeros.
Yeah, but now they did more calculations, and now they said it's more like 1 in 40,000 or something.
I want more cells.
I want 400 million. That's what I want before I can sleep.
It will probably pass within 30,000 miles of Earth.
Which
is bad. Too close, I
think.
Say.
I think that's like within the like closer than the moon is.
But the margin of error is 180,000 miles.
Uh oh.
Gotta cover your bases.
I mean, I guess.
Karen says still better chances than winning the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my point is there are so many tiny bits of debris floating throughout space, and so many are going to have absolutely no impact on our lives or anyone's lives whatsoever. But statistically speaking, if you go on a long enough time scale, there's going to be an asteroid or something large enough to destroy everything on this planet.
I think this time, in 2028, we're going to be ready to do a pretty awesome 90s movie, but
I think by the 2020s, we'll be able to fuck it up. I'm really not
it's
worried
over,
about
yeah.
it.
It's over, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I'm going
the
on...
The 2020s,
like,
you said?
Yeah.
It's not too far from now.
We got this.
Dude, we're there.
I'm going. You can do a lot with 8 years.
But I'm saying on a long enough scale.
Good. Will you?
On a long enough scale, tens, thousands, millions, maybe billions of years. This Earth still has 4 billion years left on it before the sun dies out and makes this planet worthless. There's warming, but I mean
thank you, Cloud. Yes,
I mean humans are long gone off this planet. Humans are not living on this planet another 4 billion years. They're not living on this planet probably another 400 years.
To bounce off that, I was reading about this, but for some reason ice ages fascinate me.
Yeah,
generally speaking, like global warming, it might I believe industrialization has caused global warming. I definitely believe that, but also. Apparently, we are currently actually in an ice age. Anytime there's ice that's on Earth, it means we are... So we are actually in a receding ice age. Isn't that kind of weird? Like,
yeah,
we're still in the cold stage.
And that's when our race thrives. We are the dominant species because this is the perfect temperature for us.
Exactly.
It's so perfect.
It's just right. You can sit on your porch and rock back and forth watching the sun go down with your dog by your side and your gun by your other side.
Thinking cold thoughts to keep the universe cold.
It's great. And then we live on this planet so shortly. I guess to sort of
tie it all together, I do believe that, you know, everything is obviously all one thing, whatever you want to call it, however connected you may think it is or is not. We are all one part of this big entity, though we do not know yet how far it extends or if it even ends. And, you know, a lot of the things that we do on this planet, or a lot of the things going on in other planets, other far reaches of the galaxy and beyond, are probably not going to affect anything that we do or anything else does. But everything that we do, who knows? We're creating an alternate timeline with every single thing that we do. And some of those things are gonna matter.
Yeah, you know. But as Castelvi says, none of this matters.
None of this matters. I put that on I ruin so many Facebook walls on birthdays like that. Like if you recall, I might probably do it with you, Sky. I just whenever someone's has a birthday, I'll put great, happy birthday, but your actions have no effect on the universe. Bye.
Dude, you love doomsaying on people's birthdays.
It's my favorite thing.
You love reminding people of their imminent deaths on the most special day of the year for them.
You'd rather get a happy birthday smile.
No, dude, I get a ton of those.
So lame. I get so many likes on those. They're happy that someone changed up their Facebook
page. Maybe they're just afraid to not like it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
It'd be really funny though if it was the exact opposite, and then
if everything we did affected everything.
Like we each had our own planet full of followers.
What were you saying, sorry, Lisa?
If we each had our own planet full of followers, and fucking everything we did mattered.
Like what? Like revolving around our bodies?
Isn't that sort of what Mormons believe or some shit?
No, that can't be right.
According to the Book of Mormon,
it's pretty kooky.
I've never read it.
According to the Book of Mormon, the musical.
What am I gonna look up? Mormons believe. Planet revolves around
according to one of the main songs, I believe, which is filled with actual factual information, and one of the funniest part about it is that all of the information at least claims to be factual, and they said that I guess when people die, God promises them each their own personal planet.
Are
or
you
something.
Serious?
Oh, sweet. The answer, I'm looking that up, and the answer is not really, well, sort of, I guess, is the answer.
So what else does Yahoo Answers have to say about that?
This is MormonDNA.org is where
what?
I'm at. Mormon, what is, yes, what Mormon DNA, what Mormons are really made of. What do Mormons really believe?
Stars, man.
The question is, do Mormons believe that they get their own planet after they die? And the answer is yes. And I haven't read any more of it, so that's all I got so far.
Well, it sounded so convinced with that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure the rest of that answer is full of facts.
Sort of. You have to be there.
You know what's extra weird about this, any sort of debate like this?
For God's sakes.
It's debatable how much of our past we can actually remember and how much we're just making up to suit wherever we are now.
Oh, yeah, dude. Revisionist history is nuts.
Selective memory.
Well, and just there was a TED Talk about why eyewitnesses' testimony is, basically completely... Yeah.
Bullshit.
You know,
were talking about me about this at one point.
It was really intense because they were talking about people, a whole group of people agreed on the suspect, but then they actually went and recreated the conditions, and there was no possible way. Like, they took photos of the lighting conditions and, like, the same exact kind of car and people with, like, the same skin color and all that kind of stuff. And there was just, you couldn't see a thing. It was just, like, black inside the car. And the whole thing was, like, backlit. But uh-huh. Everyone was like, no, we're convinced we saw, like, that man. And it turned out, and they eventually later did DNA testing. It wasn't that guy at all.
Ooh.
And the, but they, and all they had was eyewitness testimony to go on. They didn't have a bullet from the gun. They didn't have, like, anything else. And they convicted a guy, sentenced him to death.
Oops.
Purely over eyewitness testimony. And thankfully, he was eventually released. But what the guy who was giving the talk was a neuroscientist. And he said that, like, in moments where you're intensely emotional, the things you think you remember most, you're more likely to make it up. And his example was on, this is going to get real.
All right, let's do this.
On 9/11, most people remember watching the first tower fall, and then, you know, like, the first tower falls, the, like, they're in school, they're at work, whatever, and somebody's like, oh my God, you have to turn on the television, we have to watch this.
Uh-huh.
They turn on the television, hear the report about the first tower falling, and then a few minutes later, they're watching the news when the second tower falls.
Right,
this is what most people remember. In reality, there was no news broadcast on any major network of the second tower falling for over 2.5 hours after it actually happened.
No shit!
So that memory is false.
Wow.
That's
exactly my memory.
That is my memory.
I know I was in school.
My memory is the planes hitting.
My memory is the second plane hitting and then watching the first tower fall. Yeah. And then apparently now I'm wrong.
Yeah. That's what that guy said.
It all happened. It happened in the morning, and I was
like,
in
you
school.
Got,
so are you saying, that lied on that Tuesday? That
you're calling
like,
me a
the
liar?
Reason you
called
me a liar? No, but are you saying that like
shit is this?
I'm saying,
hey, you said it was going to get real.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm interested in this. So you're saying that no one, because a lot of people are, and I'm playing around with that idea in my head. I'm like, no, I've seen footage, but I'm thinking about right now is when I watch news like every year, like it's on TV and it shows the thing. I'm like, oh, I remember seeing that when it happened, but I'm actually watching behind the scenes, the cameras of it happening, but that was never recorded.
And that's why
for the 2 hours
we didn't see it. We were told that it happened. We didn't see it for 2.5 hours, but we know that in the timeline, it happened only a few minutes after the first plane hit.
Right.
So we have reconstructed that memory because we were probably like, for me, I know I was in the library at the school. I was in the library for like 5 or 6 hours, I think, or, you know, a good chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
I saw both of those events happen, but like very spread apart. And I like went out, I think we were all forced to like go get lunch or something, you know, like they did all
go get lunch.
Yeah.
It was like, just go get lunch.
But
go.
My memory is that like, they were like, you know, they made an announcement and everyone had to like run, not didn't have to, but like everyone ran to wherever the nearest thing was. I sat down in the library, heard what happened, and then shortly thereafter saw the second plane hit. Like I saw it happen live.
Yeah.
But that was not the case.
Wait, the second plane hit or the second tower falling?
Second plane hit.
Yeah. Because I remember watching the second plane hit.
Yep. 2.5 hours after it happened.
Because I watched live the first tower fall.
Yep.
Do we know what time?
And it's the second plane hit.
No, they showed footage of. Yeah. They even got actual time on it though. Like
the
NBC
hitting.
Like Tuesday.
It wasn't
9:15. The second plane hits. Like they actually were recording live.
Go listen to the guy talk. He explains
plane,
it better than I do.
Between the time of the second plane hitting and the first tower falling is no more than like it's less than an hour.
Yeah. They didn't show it on the news for 2.5 hours.
So
from the first plane. So there's like an hour and a half gap that your brain has eliminated.
Wow. That is not necessarily... I can't understand
exactly.
That.
Exactly. That's why it was fucked up, but I remember. Exactly. That's what's fucked up about it.
You just gotta trust Mark and go listen to some dude.
This was a TED Talk?
It was a TED Talk as a neuroscientist talking about memory.
Did they show all the footage later?
At 9:59 and the second
So it happened before any of us saw it?
Yeah, the second
the whole
tower
thing.
They collapsed 20 minutes apart.
We saw the
dude.
First thing.
But when the plane,
he's talking about
hit.
When the second plane.
And
hit
I'm not
the first
saying when
collapsed.
It happened. And I don't. And I'm. I don't know. I don't remember between collapsing and hitting, which exact thing he was saying.
Man, this is
but
real,
there
was real.
A there was a very long. There was a 2.5 hour period before they broadcast something, that happened a few minutes later.
Okay.
That is the period, and the period of time between when it happened and when it was broadcast is the period of time most Americans' memory eliminates.
Because I distinctly remember turning the TV on after the first tower had been hit, only to see the second tower.
That's exactly what he describes his memory as well. And he's like, but that's not actually what happened.
Fuck. All right. Fuck.
I'm gonna have to.
How does he YouTube some stuff?
Yeah. Somebody go. It's a TED Talk.
You don't have to know.
It's called Why Eyewitness Testimony. It's like Why Eyewitness Testimony doesn't something about that. Look, just look up TED Talk Eyewitness Testimony. It was from like a few months ago.
I'll have to check it out.
Everybody's mind blown right now.
Yeah, totally.
I have a headache. And
I do too.
I remember that day that it was also, it was actually pretty decent weather. But I don't know.
It was a nice day.
You know, I can't predict the future of what the weather will be soon.
You know what, Keith? Not many people can predict the future of the weather.
Right. But some can.
Some can.
Yeah, they're mostly computers, though.
Well, you know what? Luckily, we have one human being in Octavarius Studios right now who is awesome at predicting the weather. You know what? She's even better at telling it. So you know what what time it is, folks? It's time for Cloud Tells the Weather.
I thought it was Cloud on Clouds.
I thought it was
Cloud did you change
says what the
weather Aaron wants Cloud on Clouds.
Weather report.
Expect some extra large tidal waves and musty air in the Lake Michigan area caused by a Loch Ness monster. Also, on coming from the northeast, you will probably see several large UFOs causing the sky around them to be about 30 below zero. And also, just a strange dark figures roaming the streets, but I can't really make out their figure right now, but just be ready for those. Oh, you won't be able to really see any of this, but just know that it's there.
Okay. This has been Cloud Tells the Weather.
Of course, once again, completely wrong. if you're listening to this on Friday, it's 58 degrees, partly cloudy. although very close, actually, it is going to rain on Saturday. It is going to be a few showers, 30% chance of rain with a high of 50, and 54 degrees on Sunday, partly cloudy. Thank you, Cloud.
You're welcome.
I hate to interrupt you, but it's time for an Octavarius sports update. It looks like in a stunning matchup, an upset, if you will, the Kurt Vonnegut's are in the lead in their now epic rivalry over the Gotham Rogues. The Kurt Vonnegut's currently with 124 points, helped out by a phenomenal performance from Brandon Marshall. Whoops, Brandon Marshall.
We are Marshall.
We are Marshall.
And the Gotham Rogues holding strong with 108.66, but the game is almost over, and it looks like that's where it's going to end. Go Bears. And that has been your Octavarius Sports Update.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good work, Kurt Vonnegut.
Thank you. I am the Kurt Vonnegut.
Who's the Kurt Vonnegut? Who's the other one?
Yes?
Tins. I feel all, like, sad. Is there anything cheerful going on that maybe could cheer me up?
Fuck yeah, there is, Keith.
What?
Well, you know, we broadcast this podcast live on Mondays. Today would be October 1st that we're broadcasting it. But if you're not listening to it live on livestream.com/Octavarius, you can catch it for the very first time on iTunes and Stitcher and Octavarius.com on Friday, October 5th. Which means if you're listening as it's coming out, we have some very special birthdays to announce.
Yum, yum.
So first of all, a very happy birthday to Steve Miller, a musician for his own band.
Happy birthday, Guy Pearce, actor.
Aww,
you did it, man. You made it. You ruined a memento.
Happy birthday, Larry Fine. He was one of the Three Stooges. He was Larry.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Patrick Waugh. Ice hockey player.
Happy birthday, Karen Allen. She was the chicken raised on the Lost Ark.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, buddy.
Happy birthday to American rapper, the South Park Mexican.
I still got three good ones.
I got really good ones. Really? You're going there?
Happy birthday, Kate Winslet. You did it, girl. You did it good.
Oh, boy.
Happy birthday, Nikki Hilton. You were alive.
Happy birthday, Neil deGrasse Tyson. You are one seriously cool dude.
Is it his birthday? Good. We were talking about science.
Yeah, we should send this to him.
And happy birthday, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yep.
You were in the Social Network.
And other things.
Other things, easy, guys. That's all I got.
Well,
feeling great right now.
I'm feeling great. Oh, you know what? I'm feeling great. Back. Feeling good. How are you?
Let's just stop the podcast.
Well, no. Castelvi, this is only fair. This is our job and our duty as podcasters. Well, we can't just celebrate the good. We have to report the bad news sometimes. And as you know, every time somebody is born, someone must die. For that is the rule. So, unfortunately...
There's a bunch of good ones this time.
Good ones, yeah.
Oh, don't call it bad.
I mean, it is good. They're good ones.
Unfortunately. we must wish some condolences to the family, friends, and fans of Shawnee Indian leader Tecumseh.
you are fucking killed, dude.
That's the first one I saw. I'm going chronological.
See the
oh, you got it. It's all yours.
Of Steve Jobs.
I'd like to point out that Castelvi just said getting killed during the death announcement.
Whoa! Yeah.
I just want to point it out.
Is that good?
That's.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's a pun.
I'll give it to you.
Is that a pun?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
All right. Yes.
I'd totally give that to you.
I mean, I don't have it, but
maybe like unintentional puns aren't puns.
And as first act of your kingdom, I'd like to say to the family of Rodney Dangerfield.
That was mine.
I feel
should have stayed out of that field.
I
feel like we're taking a little too much joy in these obituaries.
To the fans of American pro wrestler Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman died. Pillman. Would be today.
The great Brian Pillman.
Dude, he had a good feud with Stone Cold.
Ah, well, I'm feeling okay.
Good, because with every life, none of them
are. But Terrence. Yes, Scott.
I feel dumb.
Well, you know what? Not for long, Scott.
Huh?
Because you know what time it is.
What time is it?
It's time for Nick McCullough's seven words of wisdom.
Damn it. You know who Apophis hates? Amun-Ra.
Oh, God! This has been Nick McCullough's
seven words of wisdom.
Nice, dude. I dropped the ball on that Spider-Verse.
The meteor is Apophis. That was very close, though.
Right, but you know what, though?
What?
It's named after the Egyptian god who hated Ra, the sun god from Stargate. So we gotta get the sun god from Stargate to fight this asteroid.
I wanna say that Ra is the sun god of the Egyptian people, not just Stargate.
No, dude. No, dude, you're wrong, man. He's just... Trust me, dude. I know. Oh, 6-7. I'm gonna
thank you.
I'm gonna eat the other part of the apple.
We're showing Nick,
apple.
Of course, pictures of spiders.
As is tradition.
As is custom.
What?
Sometimes it's just terrible slurs.
All right, folks. It is just about time for us to go. But as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for continuing to come out to our Sunday shows. They've been wonderful to have you there. We've had some real nice size audiences, and you are the ones to thank. So thank you all.
And good audiences too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well behaved. Good manners.
Very well behaved.
Yes.
I was just thinking about that.
As always, follow us on Twitter. We are, of course, at Octavarius. Like us on Facebook if you haven't already. We just recently surpassed 1,000 likes, which is super awesome. Yeah, we did it. We're at 1K5 right now or something.
1K5.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I love that. Oh, thank you guys so much. Once again, Logan, your musical is called All of That Jaws,
premieres October 19th at Theater Wit on Belmont in Chicago, Illinois, 10:30 p.m. Come check it out. We're running through December 7th, so it'll be a long run.
If you could turn it into any animal, what would it be?
Oh, it would be owl.
Owl.
To absorb light with my eyes.
To absorb light with his eyes.
He who knows 10,000 things.
Great. Logan, real quick, you have 5 seconds. What is something that scares the shit out of you?
Clowns.
Okay, great. Oh, that's going to do it for us, everybody.
We all live in a clown's tear.
Oh, no, God!
Have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye!
Nice.
What is this?
Oh, God.
A clown is what it is. to run for your life. You're running out of time.
Put that in the closet.
Close and lock the door.
Open our closet and see
he's coming back for the moment.